Welcome to the Think Orange podcast, where we want to encourage and equip leaders like you who are investing in the faith and future of the next generation. I'm your host, Shane, and for the next few weeks, we're talking about how to have better conversations with the people that we lead. That's why we're so excited for you to hear from Dan Scott as he talks about conversations with some of the most important and influential people that we will ever lead, parents. Dan is the director of elementary strategies here at Orange. He's an author of Caught in Between, Engage Your Preteens Before They Check Out. Not only is Dan a ministry leader and thought leader, but he's also a dad to four fantastic teenagers and young adults. That's why he's the perfect person to talk to about better conversations with parents. In the training you're about to hear, Dan underscores the importance of introducing yourself to every parent and gives practical ways a volunteer or small group leader can connect with families. Now, as you listen, you may find yourself thinking, okay, this is great. I wish the volunteers at my church could hear it. And if that's you, we wanted to let you know that this talk is a part of our volunteer training strategy that comes free with all Orange curriculums. If you're an Orange partner, simply log into your account and click on volunteer training. If you're not an Orange partner, you can find this volunteer training video and others by heading to the Orange store and searching for volunteer training. And as always, we'll put it all in the show notes for this episode. But for now, enjoy Meet the Parents with Dan Scott.
Every time I lead a group of kids as a volunteer, I learn something new. Here's what I mean. Last time I spoke to a group of teenagers at church camp, I learned that having the drip has nothing to do with faucets. How did I learn that, you ask? Well, good question. As I was walking out of the chapel, a kid walked up to me. Dan, I just gotta say, you've got some major drip. Thanks. As soon as he walked away, I pulled out my phone and immediately pulled up Google. Turned out, he just liked what I was wearing. I mean, who knew that what I was wearing was being judged and evaluated every time I got on stage? Being sure to wear the right clothes, aka having the drip, was not in my job description. And I bring that story up because I know you get it. There is so much you do each week that was not exactly what you signed up for as a volunteer. And if you had known, it may have kept you from signing up in the first place. Maybe no one told you that serving in the church nursery also means becoming a master of distraction when parents drop off their anxious toddler. Maybe you lead third graders and you've discovered part of your job is knowing their pet's name and last week's prayer request for that pet. Maybe you've led middle schoolers recently and found yourself downloading TikTok just to keep up with that viral sensation they're talking about. The point is, so much of what you and I do each week is not on our job description. It is stuff no one told us we'd be doing when we signed up to volunteer. And today, we're talking about one of those not what I signed up for things. But don't worry, this has nothing to do with shopping for and wearing the right clothes. Now look, this job sounds simple. But it's the most important thing you'll do all year, even if it's rarely the first thing that comes to mind. So, here we go. Partner with parents. Maybe you hear that phrase and you think, great, talking to adults is easy. And maybe you think, even better, I am a parent and I sure wish someone would partner with me. Or maybe, like me, you hear that phrase and you instantly think of a few reasons that is a terrible idea. For me, the idea of partnering with parents has always made me nervous, even though I am one, and especially in my early days as a leader. This idea seemed unnecessary. After all, I signed up to lead kids, not 35-year-olds. But mostly for years and years, my own thought process around partnering with parents sounded like this. I don't want to. I just didn't want to partner with parents. So if you feel that, but were maybe afraid to say it out loud, I get you. This is a no judgment zone. I've been there. But there have been a few facts I've learned over the years that have changed my mind. Maybe they can help you too. Like this one. No one has more potential to influence a kid or teenager than their parent. Maybe that sounds dramatic, but it's true. A parent or caregiver has more potential for influence in a child or teenager's life than anyone else, even us. Here's what I mean. Let's pretend the kids you serve show up every single Sunday this year. Now, they won't, but let's pretend they do. accounting for holiday closures, school special events, that means you'll most likely see a kid for at most 40 hours this year. Their parent, on the other hand, will see them for 3,000 hours. That's a big difference. And that's just this year. Next year, that caregiver or step-parent, mom, dad, aunt, they will see them for another 3,000 hours and another 3,000. And they'll be there on days we might not, like holidays, graduation days, and wedding days. In other words, nothing is quite like the influence of a parent. And in large part, that's due to something as simple as the amount of time a parent or caregiver has with their kid that we as volunteers simply can't compete with. But as true as that is, this is also true. Every kid needs influence from someone other than their parent. As influential as a primary caregiver is, we also know they can't be the only influence. Kids and teenagers need to hear from someone outside their family who reinforces core truths. Kids and teenagers need to know that there are people other than the people in their home who love and trust Jesus and who can be an additional trusted voice in their lives. That's why, if you and I want to influence a kid's future, the very best thing we can do is partner with parents. This is a great idea in theory, but maybe you, like me, find yourself wondering, how exactly are we supposed to do that? Well, good news and bad news. There is no perfect roadmap for partnering with parents. But there's one thing you can do that will make all the difference with the families you lead. Ready? Here it is. Meet the parents. Now, when I say parents, I mean whoever the caregiver or guardian is for that child. Foster parents, grandparents, aunts, step-parents, and legal guardians are all incredibly important people to meet. And when you do meet them, here are a few tips to help you make the most of it. When you meet the parents, say their kid's name. When you say a kid's name, it lets the parents know that you see their kid as a person and not just a number in a group. And while you're at it, say that kid's name correctly. My oldest name is Liam. L-I-A-M. Simple, right? But it is amazing how many times a teacher or church volunteer would read his name tag as Liam. It made all the difference when someone said it right the first time. See, if volunteers can do something as small as intentionally using a kid's name and correctly pronouncing it, it communicates to a parent or caregiver how much their kid matters in that group. Next, ask a specific question. Listen, it's one thing to know a kid's name. It's another thing to know a kid. So when you ask a specific question like, how's Ellie's crochet coming along? Or what video games has Tay been into lately? No matter the activity, when you ask something specific, it lets a parent or caregiver know that you truly care. Not just about their kids in general, but their kid. It lets them know that you are more than just invested in the 1 hour a week you get with their kids. You are invested in them as a whole. What makes them them? Outside of the church world. And finally, team up. In the beginning stages of your relationship, it can be really helpful to define the relationship you have with parents. Let them know you aren't just a babysitter or chaperone. You're there to be another voice supporting them and encouraging their kid. Let them know that you have the same goal as they do, to love and guide their kid through some formational years in their faith and in their lives. Now, even if the idea of meeting the parent feels overwhelming, keep in mind that it doesn't have to be complicated. For me, that means every year I try to send parents, caregivers, a quick text message that sounds something like this. Hey, I want you to know I'm on your team and I'm here to cheer for, pray for, and support you as the loudest voice in your kid's life. Please text me here anytime to let me know how I can help. I know that sounds simple, but But taking just a moment to define the relationship up front sets you up for a win with that parent in the long run and lets them know you're here to support their influence, not compete for it. So, meet the parents and let them know you're on their team. Oh, and while we're at it, and this is really important, act like a teammate. Here's what I mean. Don't talk negatively about them behind their back. Don't share their family business with other leaders as gossip, and don't ever, ever, ever talk negatively to a kid or teenager about their parents. Being a teammate means partnering with one another for the shared goal of investing in the life of the child and teenager you both care about. That's why you honor the relationship between the parent or caregiver and their child. And honor the parent or caregiver even if their kid makes a compelling case for why their parent is having a rough time being a parent. As a volunteer, I've heard my fair share of stories, and some of them were pretty convincing. Here's the thing, you never know the whole story. When a kid tells you something from their perspective, you never know the whole situation. The adult perspective, the family dynamics, the financial situation, or about 1,000 other factors. So don't throw away your influence with that parent to score fleeting cool points by agreeing with their kid. It's not okay to trash talk a teammate, ever. In fact, one of the kindest things we can do for families we serve is to find ways to say good things about them and to them. Often, parents are only contacted by the adults in their kid's life when there's something wrong. If a parent gets a call from a teacher, a coach, a pediatrician, it's rarely good news and can often feel like an evaluation. As a parent, I know that feeling of seeing the doctor or school pop up on the caller ID, an immediate panic of, oh no, what did my kid do now? Or what's wrong? Or what happened? And then immediately followed by the thought, this is my fault, isn't it? Look, think about it. There's no institution in our culture that calls parents specifically to say, good job. Here's something you're doing right. Most parents are living with a low-level anxiety of getting the parenting thing totally wrong. That's why it's so powerful for you and I to be loud voices of encouragement. This year, you can be a family's raving fan, and your belief in them may help them believe in their ability to be a great parent. As you consistently partner with parents, you may just find you have more influence with those who influence the kids you serve each week. And that's a huge deal. So, meet the parents and help them win.
We want to thank you for joining us as we get to know the voices of Orange Conference 23. Now, if you like this episode, we'd also love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to check out all the workshops and get your tickets to Orange Conference 23 at theorangeconference.com. We'll see you next time on the Think Orange Podcast.